You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those nights that just, one of those days, actually, drives me wild. Yesterday was the same way. All across this country, people wonder how the militia movement survives. And they are continually reading in the newspaper some of the most stupid, ignorant acts portrayed as having been perpetrated by militia members. And people who call themselves leaders of militias, blatant racists, propounding not the restoration of constitutional republican government with freedom for all, but some kind of weird, whacked out theocracy. We hear other militia members talking about the fact that if you're not a Christian white male property owner, you can't be a member of the militia. And then we see strange cases where all of a sudden militia members are arrested and dragged into court with all kinds of strange charges being pressed against them. In Phoenix, it was called the Vipers, and it was said or alleged they were accused of having plotted to blow up all the government buildings in Phoenix, and that they had actually cased them out and made a videotape. Back east in Georgia, members of the Georgia militia were arrested and charged with having plotted to make pipe bombs and blow up government installations, and pieces of pipe and some chemicals were actually dug up on some militia members' property. How does all this happen? I have spent years digging up what no one else has ever bothered to unearth, to present not just to the American people, but to the people of the world, the necessity of an armed militia by a population belonging to that population, not subject to the political or military control of the government. It is, in fact, the history and tradition of this country. Long before there was the United States of America, long before there was even an established lawful colony, there were militias. It has been militias that throughout the history of this country, ladies and gentlemen, has fought the nation's battles, has protected the citizenry in the Civil War, freed the slaves. Oh, yes. But it seems that in this modern day and age, the age of, listen to me very carefully, the age of information, most of these people who call themselves militias can't find any information. Don't have a clue. Apparently, don't have enough brains to even know how to, or even want to, or even be interested in seeking out the truth concerning the militia. I have seen militias called the Texas Christian Militia. That's not a militia, ladies and gentlemen. It's a religious army. It has nothing to do with freedom. It has to do with shoving their religion down your throat. The Jews have a militia that they call the Jewish Defense League. Same thing. The Jewish Defense League is not a real militia. It's not interested in protecting freedom for all people. It's interested in only promoting the Jewish agenda and only protecting Jews. Then you have the Aryan nations, the white supremacists, are supremacists, depending on who you're talking to, which word they will use. Supremacist is correct. Who profess that they are going to liberate a portion of this continent for a white Anglo-Aryan race nation only. And then we have the several different black movements which profess to be doing exactly the same thing. They're going to liberate a portion of this country simply and only and strictly for black people to live in. All of them are racists, every single one of them. All of them. Most also demonstrate a degree of religious tyranny. In other words, if you don't belong to their religion, whatever it happens to be, you're not worthy of being in their militia, or even being on this continent, for that matter, if you really get down and talk to them and they let their hair down, then, oh my God, what comes out of their mouth when you manage to talk them into having a couple of drinks at the bar will absolutely amaze you. It will also scare the living hell out of you. Most people don't understand that they cannot be free unless they give the same degree of freedom that they wish for themselves to every other person. This broadcast is about freedom. I live for freedom. For all people of all races, all religions, of all places of ancestral origin, I don't care who you are, what you look like, what your color is, or where you came from, or what church you walk into on Sunday morning, or Saturday afternoon, or Tuesday at midnight. Makes no difference to me. You see, because I learned something a long time ago. I can't worship at the altar of my choice, the God of my choice, if I don't allow you to do the same. And it is not for me to judge. My religion says that it is for God only to judge. It is for me to take reasonable precautions. Reasonable precautions to defend myself and my family, to defend freedom for all people, for if I do not, I cannot be free. To be ready and willing to die for freedom, because if I am not, the first person who threatens my life will enslave me. Because I will then be too fearful to resist. Americans must learn that our uniting common bond is freedom. It's not the liberal agenda. It's not the Republican agenda. It's not conservatism. It's not liberalism. It's not socialism. It's not Marxism. It's not capitalism. It's freedom. Freedom means whatever I wish for myself, I must be willing to give to others. My religion says it very well. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We do not foment attacks upon anyone else. We grant others the same freedom we wish for ourselves, but we take a defensive stance against anyone who would take our freedoms from us, and we are ready and willing to die in defense of liberty and freedom at any time that we are called upon to do so. It requires knowledge. It requires education. It requires intelligence. It requires, above all, due diligence. It requires physical health and spiritual sustenance from whatever source. Why is the militia movement failing? Because the militia movement does not propound these ideals generally across its total makeup. The militia movement does not educate its members. It passes on rumors and thrives on adrenaline rushes. It's made up of people who do not seem to have much education, very little leadership ability, if any. A total misunderstanding of the law regarding the militia. Absolutely no security systems or security measures set up at all. Never checks the background or the history of anyone, even those they promote to the highest ranks in the most critical and sensitive leadership positions. Remember Tri-States Militia? It was discovered that the man in charge of all their secure and in the open communications with all other militias was an FBI operative. What happened to the Georgia militiamen? Their militia was infiltrated by informants working for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. When they found that the militia was not guilty of subversive activities, the informants proposed during a meeting that they build pipe bombs. When the militia did not express any interest in doing any such thing, these informants went out and purchased the lengths of pipe and the chemicals and went and buried them on the property of one of the militia members, and the next thing you know, they're all in prison. How many of you witnessed the debacle in Washington, D.C., the congressional hearings with Senator Arlen Specter making fools out of the supposed militia commanders sitting at the table who did not know and could not quote the law or the traditions or the history of the militia, nor could they get off of the defensive and go on the offensive and put Senator Arlen Specter in the hot seat where he should have been? No. They talked about weather control and how the government was sending out ELF waves and everything that was guaranteed to make them look like nothing but a bunch of fools. Folks, you don't have to wonder why the militia movement is not succeeding generally across the country. There are some successful militias, and we're not talking about them tonight. The successful ones you don't ever hear about, because they are responsible. They do educate. They only have the most educated, most experienced, most intelligent of their people in the highest leadership positions. They do background checks and security clearances on everyone. And no one gets into a sensitive position unless they can clear that background check and security clearance investigation. And it's not just looking at a driver's license or a DD-214. Sometimes, as some of our members can tell you, these security checks and background checks take months or even years. I had one militia commander of a state, self-appointed four-star general, tell me today that all of his commanding officers were military veterans and had extensive military experience. I said, oh yeah? How the hell would you know? You've never done a background check on any of them, and I guarantee you that most people who openly brag about their military experiences are liars. Because real people who really have those experiences don't go around talking about it much. Want to know what I'm talking about? They've done it again, folks. The New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia has been infiltrated. The commander of the 2nd Continental Army of the Republic announced on January the 3rd that it appears the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia has been infiltrated at the highest level by an agent provocateur of the New World Order. The commander announced that the intelligence service has named Lieutenant General William S. English, commanding officer of the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia, Southern Command, that's the whole lower half of the state, quote, a man whose allegiance is in serious question, a proponent of the artificial extraterrestrial threat designed to further world government, and according to the United States Army, a total and complete fraud as far as his purported military history is concerned. William S. English claims to have been a special forces captain in the United States Army who served in Vietnam. English claims to have inspected a downed B-52 bomber in which he says he found the mutilated bodies of the crew whom he claimed had been mutilated by alien beings. That's these little green aliens from another world who he said caused the plane to crash into the jungle of Vietnam. English also claims to have worked in England as an information analyst for the National Security Agency, where he was given to read and analyze a document entitled Project Blue Book Report Number 13. He claims the report was a government compilation of information covering the subject of extraterrestrial interaction with the human race and the United States government. William S. English is closely involved, ladies and gentlemen, with CIA agent John O. Lear, Air Force Intelligence Officer Major John Grace, CIA Operative Vicky Cooper Ecker, no relation, and the fraud known as Donald Francis Ecker III, the so-called Research Director of UFO Magazine. John Lear is the co-author of The Matrix. The Matrix. He is a CIA operative and a CIA aviation pilot legend. He is the son of aviation magnate William P. Lear, who invented and manufactured the Learjet. Major John Grace is the co-author, along with John Lear, and together they use the pseudonym of Val Valerian. They are the co-authors of The Matrix. They are also the co-authors of all the subsequent sequels to The Matrix, Matrix 2, etc., etc. And Major John Grace is a counterintelligence officer with the Air Force's Office of Air Intelligence. Vicky Cooper Ecker was recruited by the Central Intelligence Agency after she was nabbed by the government and turned state's evidence against her employer, Sidney Biddle Barrows, also known as the Mayflower Madam. Donald Francis Ecker III is another person connected with the ufology movement. He has claimed a completely fraudulent background. Ecker claimed to have been a United States Army Special Forces officer also. Also a Vietnam hero. A criminal investigator for the state of Idaho and a police officer on over 6 different police forces across the nation claims that under investigation all proved to be false. Phony. He's a fraud. The commanding officer reports that an investigation by the intelligence service has revealed that there is no doubt that William S. English has seen and read the bogus, I repeat, bogus document entitled Project Blue Book Report Number 13, which document is closely associated with the fraud known as Majesty 12 that was released by the agent provocateurs William Moore, Jamie Chanderay, and Stanton T. Friedman. Majesty 12 is currently being promoted by New World Order agent provocateur Art Bell on his overnight broadcast. The intelligence service report reveals that Mr. English's claimed United States Army history, Special Forces affiliation, Vietnam experiences, and NSA affiliation in England are fabrications. According to the United States Army, William S. English was an enlisted man whose MOS, which means military occupational specialty or army job code, was cook. The United States Army states that he was never an officer or a member of special forces. The highest rank attained by Mr. English was corporal. The National Security Agency reports that English has never been employed by the NSA in any capacity. There is no evidence that William English has ever visited England, and according to the United States Army, William S. English did not serve in Vietnam. Ladies and gentlemen, and if you belong to a militia especially, you better listen to me very carefully. Clean up your leadership. Clean up your militia. Institute the proper procedures, due diligence, security clearances, and thorough background checks on every member, and especially those in leadership and sensitive positions. Most militias' version of a security clearance or background check is just a questionnaire. A driver's license and a copy of a DD-214 if someone claims military service. And most believe blindly whatever is produced, never completing even the most basic investigation of the history of prospective members. Promotions are generally handed out on a buddy-buddy basis. Security clearances are usually given based upon a limited personal knowledge with no investigation whatsoever into the background, the allegiances, or the membership and organizations of the person being given the clearance. Such procedures are guaranteed to result in the compromise and eventual destruction of even the best militia. No matter how good you think you are, you will destroy yourselves. And ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of modern desktop computers, any document can be forged very easily by almost anyone in a very short period of time. With the advent of modern desktop computers, any document can be forged very easily by almost anyone in a very short period of time. It is not ever sufficient to just inspect a document. Who do you think you are? An expert on forgeries? Most of you wouldn't know a forgery if it smacked you in the nose with a 2x4. No person, ladies and gentlemen, can be believed during this age of deception. No person can be believed during this age of deception. I don't care who it is. Every claim must be thoroughly checked, including every school, every diploma, every degree, every employer, every military record, every credit record, every character reference. The complete criminal history, if any, must be found, and membership in any and every organization must be discovered. Why criminal history, you say, if the man has paid his price? Simple. What if a convicted felon comes to join your militia and fails to tell you that he's a convicted felon, and you put a gun in his hands and send him back to prison along with whoever put that gun in his hands, which could be construed under the conspiracy laws as the entire unit or militia? The degree of stupidity being practiced across this country by so-called militias and so-called patriots is absolutely stupefying. It's outrageous. Every effort must be made to question as many persons who knew the subject at different stages of his or her life with the knowledge that only the names of favorable recommendations will ever be volunteered by the subject person under investigation. The research, ladies and gentlemen, conducted by the intelligence service has revealed that the so-called extraterrestrial hypothesis is one of the greatest hoaxes ever invented. It was first proposed by John Dewey in 1917. It is promoted by New World Order proponents, and it was revealed in the report from Iron Mountain as an artificial threat to the Earth to serve as a surrogate for war and to promulgate the formation of world government. The intelligence service reports that the major proponents of this hoax, among whom is included William S. English, appear to be agents provocateur of the globalist plan for world government. Investigation has revealed that the personnel affiliated with Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory are intimately associated with the extraterrestrial hoax. And here's the New Mexico. Here's the New Mexico citizens regulated militia. Not only accepting for membership, one of the biggest agents provocateur in the country, William S. English, but they promote him to lieutenant general and put him in command of half of the militia of the state of New Mexico. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Who formed the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia? Who appointed the commanding general? Who promoted William S. English to the post of Southern Commander as a lieutenant general? Who serves under such incompetence? Or is this just another example of the Hegelian dialectic at work?
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? Oh, where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's hard, it's hard. It's hard, it's hard, it's hard. Rain is gonna fall. What did you hear, my blue-eyed son? Oh, what did you hear, my darling young one? dark forest, where the people are many and their hands are all empty.
Now here's a personal message to the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia members, the regular foot soldiers, the members who are affected by the leadership, who will or will not have them in their best interest, and will or will not use the proper procedures, tactics, and political moves to ensure the safety and security of the militia, and to ensure that if the militia must ever go into battle, that they win that battle. Listen to me carefully. What you heard tonight was not intended to hurt you or your militia. It is intended to let you know the truth about your leadership so that you can clean it up. Let our enemies think you're stupid and incompetent. Clean it up. Keep the cleanup secret. Get good leaders. Make sure that they're intelligent. Make sure that they really do have a military background on par with the level of leadership position in which you place them. Make sure that they have an education. Make sure that you institute background checks for everyone. And if you don't want to do it because you couldn't pass one, get the hell out of the militia. The militia is not there to make you feel big or important. It's to protect our freedoms. Clean it up. If you need help, contact me and we will send an expert to help you. We will not ask you for membership, rosters, for deployment plans, or anything else. We will merely help you with whatever you need. You see, you're on our flank. The Arizona militia cannot survive with an open flank led by boobs and infiltrated agent provocateurs. So don't tell us it's none of our business. It's every single bit of our business. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night, that's Wednesday night, tomorrow night, for the whole 2 hours of the hour of the time, Dr. Joel Wallach will be here in studio, and the whole 2 hours will be spent taking your calls. He's going to give you about a 5-minute introduction, then we're going to open the phones, and he'll close with about 5 minute talk at the end. In between, he's going to do his best to take as many calls and answer as many of your questions as possible. I want to ask you tonight to be sure tomorrow when you call in, if you call in, to put your mouth right in front of the phone and talk loudly so we don't have to waste a lot of time trying to get your voice level up. This is something that we constantly have problems with. So if you'll help us in that respect, we'll be able to get more people on the phone and he'll be able to answer more of your personal questions. And now, so that you'll have something to go on tomorrow. Once again, here's Dr. Wallach.
I grew up on a beef farm in Missouri, and like everybody else that raises livestock, we raise a lot of our own feed to stay in business, and we raise corn and soybeans and hay, and we grind this stuff up into a flour, and we add vitamins and minerals and trace minerals, make pellets, and you feed those calves for about 6 to 9 months, and then you ship them off to be butchered or maybe to other feeders. And you always save back the very best ones for yourself, and you knock them in the head and eat them. It's a real simple cycle on the farm. And the thing that fascinated me as a teenager was that we went to a great deal of trouble for those calves, and yet, as a family, we ate out of the very same fields. We'd keep back 5 rows of corn for ourselves. We had a garden at the end of the field where we grew our peas and beans and squash and tomatoes. And we wanted to live to be 100 with no aches and pains, and we didn't give ourselves the very same vitamins and minerals and trace minerals that we gave the calves. And I always used to ask my dad, I'd say, hey, Pops, how come we go to all that trouble for those calves and not for ourselves? And he'd say, shut up, boy. Getting farm fresh food, fresh air, lots of free exercise. Don't ask complicated questions. And I was glad to get rid of the farm exercise and go to ag school at the University of Missouri.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to receive information on Dr. Wallach and his recommendations for your personal health and get a head start here so that you can get started a little bit quicker, call right now 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. And if you're listening in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's 3555 for the Round Valley of Arizona only.
The average doctor has a malignant, dumb belief that you can get everything you need from your four food groups. Of course, we know that's impossible. You can't get everything you need from your four food groups. Plants, grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts can make and do make vitamins, vitamin A, vitamin Bs, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, vitamin K. But plants cannot make minerals, and so it's worse than a crapshoot. If you think you can get everything you need from your four food groups, you're throwing away 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years of your life unnecessarily. That's why doctors live to be 58 to 62 on the average, depending on who's research you look at. And so just simply by supplementing with all 90 essential nutrients, making sure you take in those 60 essential minerals, you will guarantee an extra 20, 30, 40 years to your life. Let's go back to our callers here. Let's go to Randy in Normal, Illinois. Hello, Randy. You're on the air.
Hello, Doc. I just wanted to say I appreciate your radio program and
well,
all that you're doing.
Thank you.
It's really helped us.
What's up with Randy?
Okay, my family has a history of heart disease.
Okay.
Do you think it does any good taking aspirin every day?
Okay, that's a great question, Randy, because people ask me that all the time, and the doctors tell people to take aspirin all the time to prevent blood clots. You have to appreciate that cardiovascular disease is not a single disease. It's actually a complex of many different diseases. For instance, varicose veins, spider veins, and aneurysms are related. They're actually due to a breakdown of the elastic fibers in veins and arteries as a result of a copper deficiency. When you get arteriosclerosis, you get hardening of the arteries. It's actually due to a magnesium deficiency. You get what's called malignant calcification. You get calcification of the small and medium-sized arteries, such as the coronary artery, the middle cerebral artery, and the basal artery of the brain. The renal artery is another one that's about the same size. Also, the carotid arteries of the head. And this is due to a magnesium deficiency. And when you have blood clots, this can be due to a deficiency of the essential fatty acids, the omega-3s, and the aspirin is actually supposed to take the place of the omega-3s in preventing this blood clotting. And so my way of looking at it is, Randy, to take all 90 essential nutrients. I keep harping on that. It's so important to maintain and repair our bodies. Taking all 90 essential nutrients, which would include the essential fatty acids, the omega-3s, and that will prevent the stickiness of your platelets and prevent the blood clots that your doctor may have suggested taking the aspirin for. But remember, taking the aspirin is not going to prevent arteriosclerosis, is not going to prevent aneurysms, and it certainly won't prevent what's called cardiomyopathy heart disease, which is really the only true disease of the heart and muscle, and that is caused by a deficiency of the trace mineral selenium. So I would say that vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids are even much more important than aspirin.
Okay. All right, well, great.
Okay, what kind of work do you do, Randy?
I work in a steel factory.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you get plenty of exercise.
Yes.
Okay, you don't have to worry about that part. Do you take any kind of fluid? I mean, you must sweat when you work in a steel factory.
I drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd really recommend you try taking one of these mineral and electrolyte supplements. And drinking that instead of water, because when you sweat, you're sweating out the selenium, the magnesium, and the copper that you really need to prevent heart and vascular disease. And so you do want to replace it when you have a job where you sweat a lot. That's very important.
Okay.
Okay?
And what is there any particular product?
Well, just generally, I keep going back to that pig arthritis formula because it's convenient, it's economical. It gives you 87 of the 90 essential nutrients. You add to it the flaxseed oil capsules, three of those with each meal. That's going to give you the essential fatty acids, and you can give up taking the aspirin.
Oh, okay. So I can water that down and just drink that through the day?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, great.
Have a great one, and then keep in touch, Randy. Give us a call every once in a while. Let us know how you're going.
All right, I will. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Randy. Okay, let's...
My major was in animal husbandry and nutrition. My minor was in field crops and soils, and I began to learn technical things about soil chemistry and how it related to tons and bushels per acre and ag economics. But I didn't get an answer to my basic question until I became a freshman veterinary student at the University of Missouri, and there I learned that the reason why we put all these vitamins and minerals and trace minerals into animal feeds, bottom line, is because we don't have insurance for them. We don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, major medical hospitalization, Medicare, Medicaid. And if we were to use a human healthcare type of system for animals, it'd be sticker shock for you. Your hamburger would cost you $275 a pound, boneless sandwich chicken breast would be $450 a pound, dozen eggs would be $50, just to pay for the healthcare. So we learned that we could keep the price of animal products, such as meat and dairy and poultry and eggs, down to where the average American could afford them, simply by significantly reducing or totally eliminating healthcare costs. And we do that in animals by preventing and curing diseases with nutrition. Well, after graduating vet school, I went to Africa for a couple of years and got to work with Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom days. That was kind of a kick. Got to play Frank Buck, use a tranquilizer gun, tromp all over Central and South Africa for a couple of years. And then Marlon sent me a telegram and invited me back to the States. He'd gotten a $7.5 million grant from the National Institutes of Health. And this was more than 30 years ago. And this was to study pollution and ecology and the environment. And my job as the wildlife veterinarian on the project was to do autopsies of animals that died of natural causes in the big zoos around the United States. And I was supposed to identify or find a species of animals that was ultra-sensitive to pollution. And we're going to use that animal much like the old coal miners used to use canaries. You know how that goes? They take the canary down the mine, and if methane gas or carbon monoxide were to leak in the mine, the canaries were more sensitive than the men and would drop off the perch and die, and long before the men were in danger of suffocating or blowing up. Well, to make a long story short, after some 12-plus years of working on this project, I had done some 17,500 autopsies and over 454 species of animals, plus 3,000 human beings for a comparison. And what I learned was that every animal and every human being who dies of natural causes dies of a nutritional deficiency disease. And I got kind of excited about nutrition again, and I wrote 75 scientific papers on the subject, wrote chapters for 8 multi-author textbooks. Actually contributed a textbook myself, 1,000 pages, 2,000 illustrations. And through the news releases that were in the big universities I worked with, I was on 2020 with Hugh Downs and Geraldo before he got his nose broke for the first time. That was a kick. I was in 1,700 newspapers around the world through the UPI and AP Newswire services. And with all this public exposure and with all this scientific exposure, I couldn't get people who are in a position of authority, either in medical research or in politics, to get too concerned or interested in preventing and curing diseases in human beings with nutrition, just like we did in animals. Well, I got frustrated enough. I went back to school in Portland, Oregon, became a physician, and I practiced there for 12 years as a general family practitioner. And I sewed up chainsaw wounds, delivered babies, used everything that I'd learned in veterinary nutrition on my human patients, and it was no surprise to me that it worked just as well in people as it did in animals. Well, to get started, I always like to talk about longevity.
Folks, if you would like to get a head start, see, Dr. Wallach's going to be live right here tomorrow night on the Hour of the Time for the entire 2 hours. That's tomorrow night right here on the Hour of the Time, live in studio to take your calls. Dr. Joel Wallach will be right here. We're going to an awful lot of trouble to get him here, too, I got to tell you, but it's worth it. If we can help you improve your health and live a long, productive, and happy life, then that's going to make us all happy, too. It's also going to help us do our job here. We've talked about that before. So make sure that you bring everybody that you know so that they can listen to Dr. Wallach live tomorrow on your radio, right here on the Hour of the Time for 2 hours. If you'd like to get a head start, folks, call these numbers right now, 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 right now. Or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. And if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555 right now.
Back with Bob. Bob from Flint, Michigan. Hello.
Hi, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
I have a similar problem to the last caller. My cholesterol is high. It's been high for several years. I'm 54 years old, and I don't feel bad, but the doctor this year, in the last physical, has put me on medication, and I'd like to do it naturally if I could.
Sure. Well, do you know how high your cholesterol was?
It's been for 10 years, probably 270, 280.
Okay. Well, that's not too scary to me. The normal range for human beings is 220 to 270, and you're right at the upper end of normal. And that's about where Eskimos range. They range from about 250 to 300, and they're legendary for not getting cardiovascular disease. And above the Arctic Circle, 98% of the Eskimo diet is red meat and blublur. Whale meat, whale blublur, walrus meat, walrus blubber, seal meat, seal blubber, bear meat, bear fat. And they don't have to worry about their cholesterol. What gives? Well, that's because they eat the stomach contents of the animals they kill, and they get their chromium and vanadium, and they get their copper and their magnesium and their selenium from the stomach contents, the krill and the algae that these animals eat. And they also eat salmon every day, either fresh or dried or smoked or salted. And this gives them the omega-3s, all of which keep their blood cholesterols down below 300 and prevents all this cardiovascular disease. And so my personal credo is a day without a hamburger is like a day without sunshine. Don't be scared about eating a quarter pounder a day or 2 eggs for breakfast every day. Salt your food to taste. Enjoy yourself like a real American should. And don't worry about your cholesterol. It's at the high end of normal. Just means you're sexier. Okay, it kind of leaves you speechless, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they've got me on, am I allowed to say the medication?
Oh, sure, what do you got you on?
Lipitor. I've only taken a half of a tablet because one of them really kind of zonked me out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to have the liver checked pretty regularly, yeah, too, to make sure I don't have damage there.
Yeah, well, that's one of the bad things about most of these cholesterol-reducing drugs is they cause either liver damage or blindness or both. And that's why they had to come in for a blood enzyme check and want to look in your eyes. And so any kind of time a drug is going to cause some life-threatening problem or have you lose any feature like hearing or vision, you want to get off of it as quickly as possible. And certainly your blood cholesterol at 270 to 280 is not at a life-threatening level. If it was 1,200, I'd be a little more concerned. But again, the pig arthritis formula, twice a day for 90 days, cut it back to once a day for maintenance. And then enjoy life. Don't worry about it. There's never been a single study which shows that restricting salt prevents hypertension or high blood pressure. There's never been a single study which shows that eating eggs or cholesterol causes plugged arteries. It's just not so. And so relax, enjoy yourself, and don't be paranoid about your blood cholesterol.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you bet, Bob.
Appreciate your time.
You bet.
From your diet, what's going to happen in about 10 to 12 years? You only make 10%. Well, you start losing that myelin, that insulating stuff out of your brain. Again, makes up 75% of your brain weight. And the old squashola goes, and you get Alzheimer's disease. Now, you can prevent Alzheimer's disease and reduce your risk of Alzheimer's disease to almost zero if you eat two eggs every morning, soft scrambled, poached, or soft boiled for breakfast every morning. Not fried. Certainly no fried foods. And you want to take in all 90 essential nutrients. You want to make sure you're taking in 1,200 to 2,000 units of vitamin E every day if you have Alzheimer's in your family. And doctors just go berserk when I say stuff like that. Well, I used to say that, you know, we could prevent Alzheimer's disease in pigs and chickens. And they say, well, you show us where pigs and chickens get Alzheimer's disease. And I say, well, I can't because we prevent it. But in the experiments, when we did experimentally produce Alzheimer's disease in pigs and chickens, it's called encephalomalacia. And so you have to know how to read the veterinary literature as well as the human literature. Well, I've been vindicated in that one. Now, this is in our own University of California, San Diego, a school of medicine, a very reputable medical school, also co-researched by the Salk Institute, also a very famous research institute. Vitamin E can ease memory loss in Alzheimer's patients. This was 4.5 years ago, July 1992. And I've been saying that over and over and over, and doctors go berserk, wanting to know, I want you to prove what you're saying. Vitamin E can ease memory loss in Alzheimer's patients. And I just send them a photocopy of this, and they say, oh, well, we have to close that investigation, because I'm just acting like a reporter here. They think I'm making this stuff up. Well, for those who say, well, that was just one study, you know, and there's no way to prove that again, this was just in the newspaper a couple days ago now. Vitamin E can slow Alzheimer's disease. Again, University of California, San Diego. This was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Well, my favorite disease is arthritis. I love arthritis. Now, the reason why I love arthritis is it's easy to fix. And when you can fix something as horrible and as debilitating, as painful and as expensive and as miserable as arthritis, you get kind of excited about this concept of preventing and curing diseases with nutrition. And so I tell people about this arthritis thing all the time. So let's have a quick look at arthritis. Number one, 75 to 80% of all Americans over the age of 50 get arthritis to one degree or one type or another. And according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, 35 to 50 million baby boomers are going to get arthritis in the next 7 to 10 years, and there's not a single medical treatment designed to prevent or fix it. Aspirin certainly doesn't fix arthritis, causes gastric bleeding and death. Tylenol doesn't fix arthritis, causes 50,000 cases of kidney failure each year, 5,000 of which are so severe you need a kidney transplant. Then there's ibuprofen, Advil, and Aleve. These things don't fix arthritis, and they cause liver disease in 2 to 5% of the users, including liver cirrhosis, even if you don't drink. And then there's methotrexate and gold shots. These things don't fix arthritis. They subdue your bone marrow so you can't make normal platelets and white blood cells. And then you have the granddaddies of all the medical treatments for arthritis, prednisone and cortisone. They don't fix arthritis. They subdue your immune system, which leaves you open to diseases far, far more horrible than arthritis. And prednisone and cortisone accelerate the loss of minerals from your bones, something you don't want when you have osteoporosis and arthritis. Now, when these prescription medications and over-the-counter medications don't work anymore to relieve pain and inflammation, the only thing left for you medically is joint replacement surgery. And I never like to send my patients in for joint replacement surgery because they never work out well. In fact, many times you're worse off after the surgery than you were before the surgery. The advantage my patients have always had is that I'm a veterinarian as well as a physician. And so I always used to tell my patients, look, we have all these nutritional formulas designed to prevent and cure diseases in animals, including arthritis. And so I tried adapting nutritional arthritis formulas designed to prevent and cure arthritis in pigeons and turkeys, dogs, cats, sheep, pigs, horses, cows, lions, tigers, and bears to human use. And it was no surprise to me. It works just as well in humans as it does in animals.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wallach will be live in studio in the hour of the time tomorrow night for the entire 2 hours. He's being brought up here just to take your calls and answer your own personal questions. So make sure that you think about what you want to ask him. That's tomorrow night, right here on the Hour of the Time for the whole 2 hours. Dr. Joel Wallach will be live right here in studio. He'll be standing right next to me, talking to you personally. If you'd like to get a jump on things, get the ball rolling, call 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. 2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. If you're listening in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's 3555.
Right, yes. Doctors, I have to tell you, doctors actually earned $117 billion, $117 billion just from cholesterol testing alone, and it didn't add 10 seconds to longevity. We're getting some faxes here. People want to know what that pig arthritis formula is. So let me just quickly tell you what the pig arthritis formula is. It goes like this. It's one of my legendary formulas. You know, veterinary formulas are designed to prevent and cure diseases in animals without drugs. And it goes like this. 5 ounces of calcium-enriched Minute Maid orange juice. Calcium-free. Minute Maid doesn't charge you for it. 1/2 ounce of the bulk powder or 6 to 12 capsules of the ultimate glucogel. That's for the chondroitin sulfate, collagen, and glucosamine sulfate, which are the basic building blocks for the bone matrix, the cartilage, the ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, and bone. 1 ounce of the colloidal minerals, which is plant-derived colloidal minerals, 98% available and contains all 60 essential minerals. And then lastly and fourthly, 1 ounce of a liquid multiple containing 112 nutrients. You mix these four basic ingredients together, you get 7.5 ounces of mix, known as Dr. Wallach's Pig Arthritis Formula. You want to take it faithfully twice a day for 90 days, and then you can cut it to once a day for maintenance. I do get a lot of people say, well, Doc, how do I know I'm absorbing it? Well, normal human urine is clear or barely an amber color. If you're absorbing the Pig Arthritis Formula, within 2 hours or 3 hours of consuming a dose of the Pig Arthritis Formula, your urine is going to turn a fluorescent yellow. You know that you're absorbing it. So open your eyes and look before you flush the toilet. You'll know that it's working for you. How do you know that it is working for you? Well, make a list of all your health challenges. A neck that sounds like a bag full of gravel. Loose teeth, receding gums, white, gray, or silver hair, liver spots, low back problems, high blood pressure, low blood sugar, diabetes. And then every 2 weeks go through this list and see if any of them are getting better. And it's not unusual in 60 to 90 days to begin to see a trend. You will actually see many of these getting better. We can recognize it. And when they're getting better, you know that it's working for you. And don't forget that you heard it right here with Dr. Joel Wallach. And we're going to be back with some more callers after these messages.
You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Joel Wallach will be in studio right here, standing right beside me tomorrow night for the entire 2 hours. Make sure that you have your questions ready and your phone handy, and just keep hitting the redial button until you get through. We want to get as many of your personal health questions answered as we possibly can, which means please don't tie up Dr. Joel Wallach with a whole bunch of stuff. Ask him the most important question that you have on your mind, and chances are that somebody else is going to ask another question that covers whatever else you wanted to know. And if you've got to ask more than one question, get it out real quick and don't bog the doctor down, because we really would like to try to get as many people's questions answered as possible. That's tomorrow night, right here on the Hour of the Time. For the whole 2 hours, Dr. Joel Wallach will be right here live in studio. If you'd like to get a jump on things, call one of these numbers right now, 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. And if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's 3555. And that number is only for those who live in the Round Valley of the state of Arizona.
Because it was designed to prevent and cure arthritis in pigs. And, of course, it has some really nifty stuff in it, which I've been telling people to use for 20 years. And I've literally seen tens of thousands of people who've had a regrowth of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, bone foundation, bone matrix. Doesn't matter if they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. I've seen people 97 years old regrow cartilage and bone, even if they had bone-to-bone arthritis. If there's blood supply to that joint and that bone, they will regrow bone and cartilage. Well, of course, Harvard Medical School goes berserk when you say stuff like that. Well, if you can't say those things, the only thing left for people when they get bone-to-bone arthritis is joint replacement surgery. And I'd agree with him if the only raw materials you're using is Tylenol and aspirin and prednisone and cortisone.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to illustrate a point, a woman that I know who's quite elderly was in the old folks home dying, literally dying. She was on her deathbed. She could hardly move, couldn't get up. She was dying. You could just look at her and tell that she was dying. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? A friend drove her up to visit with me today. She got out of the car on her own, walked into the house on her own, sat down, was mentally alert, was just as happy as can be. We all just love her to death. She's just like a grandmother to us. And she told me right to my face, in my house today, if she had not been given by a very sympathetic nurse Dr. Wallach's products, she would be dead right now. She told me that today. That's what got her well. Not all the drugs that the doctors were giving her, not all the money she was paying for the medical care and for the old folks' home and all of that kind of stuff. It was Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula that brought that woman back to life, got her up out of bed, and now she's enjoying a good, happy life once again. She lives right here. If you ever come to visit me, I'll arrange for an interview. If you think I'm not telling you the truth, because I am, folks. There are also some people who live here who were really ill with diabetes, which is a very disabling, terrible disease. They were taking large amounts of insulin every single day, had to inject this insulin into them. Well, folks, they're healthy now. They're no longer taking insulin. They're not taking any medicine. They go jogging. And I could go on and on and on and on and on telling you about what I have seen and what I know about people who have been helped by Dr. Wallach's recommendations on how we can all improve our personal health. I'm a prime example myself. I feel so good now that I don't know how to adequately describe it to anyone. I used to have terrible pains in my legs. Those pains are gone. The only pain I still have in my legs, because I want to be perfectly honest with you, is that months ago, while I was out working in the yard, I turned around real quick and banged the cartilage on the side of my knee right into the propane tank in the yard. And it hurt really bad. In fact, I fell down to the ground. It was just excruciating pain. Somehow I damaged the cartilage in my knee. That still hurts, but it's getting better. It's getting better. If I were to go to a doctor, and I know this for a fact because I've known people who have had cartilage knee injuries all my life, and the only thing that a doctor will tell you is you must have an operation, a knee operation, which sometimes cripples you, sometimes leaves you crippled. Well, it's not well yet. But it's getting well for months. In addition to the tremendous pain in my legs, I had that pain in my knee. But it's getting well. It's getting better. Doesn't hurt as bad as it did. And I look forward to the day when that pain is gone also. I sleep better at night now. I'm more alert. I have much more energy, folks, and even my eyesight has improved. So, believe it or not, that's my own personal experience. If you even just experience a little bit of the improvement of your health that I've experienced, you'll be very happy. I mean, really, really very happy.
50 years that you can't regrow cartilage and bone using those things. Now, one of the basic things, of course, that the Harvard Medical School jumped onto, and they said, this is so ridiculous. This is so ridiculous that this couldn't work. And so they took 29 patients, arthritis patients, who had failed to respond in any way to heroic medical treatment for arthritis over 15 to 20 years. They took them off all their medication. It wasn't working for them anyway. Lined them up for joint replacement surgery, and they said, look, for 90 days before we do the surgery, they gave them a heaping tablespoonful of ground-up chicken cartilage and their orange juice every morning for 90 days. They were sort of chuckling in their beer saying nothing's going to happen. Well, here's what happened. In 10 days, these 29 people, had complete relief of pain and inflammation, something they hadn't had in 15 to 20 years. In 30 days, they could now open up a new pickle jar that had never been opened without pain to the fingers, wrists, elbows, and shoulders. In 90 days, 28 of the 29 were clinically cured. Now, this is from Harvard Medical School in the Boston VA. That meant that they had complete return, 100% return of the range of motion. All the pain and inflammation was gone in their fingers and toes and hips and knees and their neck. And certainly many of them still had knots on their fingers because it was only 90 days. And you'd think they'd call me up, these professors, you know, of medicine from Harvard Medical School and from the Boston VA, and say, look, Wallet, we have to apologize to you. We've been bad-mouthing you for 20 years. And why don't you come up to Boston? Let's talk about the whole thing. Here's what they said. Quote, after 3 months, it was clear that the drug was beneficial, unquote. Chicken cartilage had become a drug in 90 days. Now, why would that happen? Well, because you can't patent chicken cartilage. And they convinced the U.S. Patent Office that they were using a drug to do this study. And they actually got a use patent on chicken cartilage. And you, too, for $3,500 a month, can get Harvard Medical School's chicken cartilage in a capsule for arthritis. Now, you can get it for 30 cents a day. Okay, it's kind of interesting. And, of course, cartilage or gelatin has chondroitin sulfate in it, glucosamine sulfate, collagen. These are all the basic raw materials to rebuild cartilage and bone. Now, again, I've been telling my human patients this for 20 years. I've been using gelatin and cartilage for racehorses for 100 years for their cartilage and ligaments and joints. And in 1995, Luke Bucci, an exercise physiologist, came out with a great book called Pain Free, and he talks about the advantages of gelatin and cartilage and glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate and collagen for regrowing cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, bone foundation, bone matrix. Does this with nutrition. Does it with glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate and collagen in cartilage and gelatin. Just a couple of months ago, a medical doctor, Dr. Jason Theodosakis, MD, wrote The Arthritis Cure. Subtitle, The Medical Miracle That Can Halt, Reverse, and May Even Cure Osteoarthritis. Now, certainly the scariest disease in the United States is cancer. Everybody is very horrified when it comes to even talk about cancer. People get nervous. And in my tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, I talked about the anti-cancer diet that was found. Everybody goes berserker when I say things like that. No, there's no such thing as an anti-cancer diet. And there you see it. This is a newspaper article. This was actually a news release by the National Cancer Institute. They did a 5-year study in Henan Province, China, and they chose to go to Henan Province, China, because it has the highest rate of cancer in the whole world. They took 29,000 people, normal healthy people, between the ages of 40 and 69, divided them up into small groups, gave each group a different vitamin, different mineral, combinations of vitamins and minerals, to see if any nutrient or combinations of nutrients would reduce this horrible rate of cancer in Henan Province. What they found out was if you take a single vitamin, don't expect too much positive to happen. And we're not too surprised at that. Linus Pauling, one of our favorite sons here in California, 2 Nobel Prizes, took 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day for 35 years, still died of prostate cancer at age 93, 7 years short of the magic number of 100. Well, they did find one group that showed significant benefit. This group got 20 cents a day worth of free nutrients, pitifully low dose, double the American RDA, beta-carotene, vitamin E, and a trace mineral selenium. This group showed a reduction in deaths from all causes by 9%. Suicide, car accidents, things like pneumonia, heart disease, ruptured aneurysms, diabetes, and cancer. They reduced all cancer deaths in this group by 13%. And the type of cancer most common in Henan Province, China, stomach cancer and lower esophageal cancer, they reduced by 21%, saved almost 1 out of 4 who were projected to die from esophageal and stomach cancer, just simply with these 3 nutrients, beta-carotene, vitamin E, and selenium. There was a redo on this by the University of Arizona, and this study was published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, December 25th, 1996, on Christmas Day. And this should have been the greatest healing and medical story in history, in recorded history. It did not even make the top 10 Associated Press news stories for 1996. That's how biased the medical profession is against nutrition. This should have been the greatest health story in recorded history. The University of Arizona Medical School took 1,300 people, put them on 250 to 500 micrograms of selenium every day, and for 10 years they looked at them for skin cancer, and it didn't help skin cancer. We know that because selenium doesn't work for skin cancer. Zinc and beta-carotene and vitamin E works for skin cancer. What they found out serendipitously, they weren't expecting this, it just sort of popped out of the study, they were able to reduce esophageal cancer by 71%. They were able to reduce prostate cancer, fellas, by 69%, better than two-thirds. They were able to reduce colon and rectal cancer by 64%, almost two-thirds. They were able to reduce lung cancer, whether you smoked or not, by 48%. And ladies, in a parallel study from the University of California by the great Dr. Gerhard Schrauser, he said you can reduce your risk of breast cancer, depending on the type of breast cancer, by 50 to 85% by taking 250 to 500 micrograms of selenium every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Joel Wallach will be in studio right here on the Hour of the Time for the full 2 hours tomorrow night. That's tomorrow night. Make sure that you have your questions ready, that you're by a phone, and that you keep hitting the redial button, because I guarantee you the circuits are going to be overloaded. We've had so many people call us wanting to be able to call and talk to Dr. Wallach personally, that we went to great lengths. You have no idea what trouble we went to and will be going to tomorrow, all day tomorrow, just to get him up here, get him on the radio, and then get him back to where he needs to be. And this is it's a very special side trip, and he's doing this just so that he can answer your questions personally right here on the Hour of the Time for the whole 2 hours tomorrow night. Now, if you'd like to get a jump on things and get your own personal situation going to where you can begin to follow his recommendations for your personal health without having to wait a long time, call 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. Or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. And if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's 3555.
This is Dr. Joel Wallach, your host, a veterinarian and physician. And, of course, a lot of people say treat them like dogs, but they do seem to get better. And we're going to come back with another caller right away here. Let's go to Nina in Scranton, New Jersey. Nina, hello.
Hi, Dr. Wallach. I'm real glad to have the chance to talk with you.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
Okay. Other than I have these spots all over my hands and arms and legs, you know, the brownish type ones.
Okay. They're called liver spots or age spots.
Yeah, they just look awful. I tried the creams from over the counter, but they just continue to get darker.
Mm-hmm. And you continue to get more and more numbers of these things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me first share with you that this is one of the early warning signs of several more sinister things that could happen to you in the future. So it's good that you're being concerned about these. The technical name for the age spots or liver spots is ceroid, C-E-R-O-I-D, lipofuscin. It's a big mouthful, but I guess in common terms it's called rancid fat. And people who eat margarine, fried foods, and salad dressings with oils in them and do not supplement with enough of a trace mineral called selenium will get these liver spots. And when you have 10 of them on the backs of your hands, your face, and your arms, you literally have millions of them, Nina, in your brain, your eyes, your thyroid gland, your lungs, your heart, your liver, and your bone marrow, all your other tissues. And they interfere with the biochemistry of every cell, of every tissue, and every organ of your body. Now, the nice thing about this is, if there is a nice thing, if you quit using margarines, salad dressings with oils in them, and fried foods, tempura, stir fry, and you take in 250 micrograms of selenium every day, which is just 0.25 milligram, within 3 to 4 to 5 months, those age spots in the backs of your hands, your face, your arms will go away. They'll fade and go away. And when they're going away on the outside, Nina, They're going to go away on the inside, and you will literally add 10, 20, 30, 40 years to your life just simply by giving up fried foods, margarine, salad dressings, and supplementing with the 250 micrograms of selenium every day. But I would take care. I wouldn't just use the selenium. Usually something else is going on that says you have more than one deficiency. And I'll ask you that question. Getting a few gray hairs, well, that could be a symptom of a copper deficiency.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you were really listening to that. I got a letter from someone who wrote me, and actually it wasn't a letter, it was an email. Someone posted it, I believe, in the public forum on the website, who said that he had been taking the mineral supplement for over 6 months and still had the liver spots on the back of his hand, and his hair was still white. And the reason is he's just taking the mineral supplement. If you're listening to Dr. Wallach really carefully, you have to understand that the mineral supplement is for your normal body requirements on a daily basis. If you're severely lacking, if you have a severe deficit, you have to take extra doses of these things. You really got to load up. And one of the pamphlets that I have here has special supplements for copper, selenium, chromium, all of these things, vanadium, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but it's these things, and make sure that you don't just take it because I'm coming off the top of my head, because I don't have that pamphlet right in front of me. But you can obtain these special supplements and take them on top of everything else. And as he said, it takes about 6 months for you to begin to notice that my hair hasn't started, going back to its normal color yet. But if I continue this for months, I know it will, because I know people whose hair has gone from white back to their normal color. I've seen it myself. I've seen the pictures. I've talked to their relatives. I know it's true. And it takes, as you heard Dr. Wallach say, between 4 to 6 months for these liver spots and for your hair color to begin to return to normal. Remember that you can't undo in just a short period of time just by taking the normal daily requirement of mineral supplements what you have taken most of your life to destroy. And that's what you've got to understand. Pay close attention to what he says. Don't let it go over your head, folks. And when you get your packet, make sure that you order the tapes and listen to them over and over and over and over and over again. And don't forget to take advantage of Dr. Wallach tomorrow night when he's going to be here live in studio for 2 solid hours. Make sure that you ask the right questions. You see, anybody can ask a question, but you've got to make sure that you're asking the right question for your personal health. And make sure that you get the answer. Okay? And that's what we're bringing him up here for. So you be prepared for it. If you'd like to get a jump on things, call 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. And if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's 3555.
And, of course, we know that copper deficiency can result in gray, white, or silver hair because copper is required as a cofactor to manufacture hair pigment, blonde, red, brown, black hair, doesn't matter. It's also required as a cofactor to manufacture things like the elastic fibers in veins and arteries. So it's very, very important that you pay attention to all these little signs going on, that there's changes happening in your body that you can prevent. And the gray hair will go away and the original hair color will come back if you also supplement with the colloidal and the chelated form of the copper. So you will literally reduce your risk of aneurysms, of cancer, of heart disease by supplementing with all 90 essential nutrients. Make sure that you have 250 micrograms of selenium and at least 2 milligrams of available chelated and colloidal copper.
Now notice there, folks, that you see what he's telling you? Not just the colloidal, but you have to take the colloidal as the normal daily requirement and supplement also with the chelated mineral, which you get in capsule form. And don't forget, for the first 90 days, you got to take double doses of this stuff. Double doses just to get you started back toward the right health. That's what I'm doing. I started out taking half of what he recommended as a daily dose. Then I built up to a daily dose. And then I started taking the double dose that he originally said, because I don't always trust what people tell me about something I'm putting in my body. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Wallach is right, and I don't doubt him anymore. I follow his instructions to the letter. And when he's talking, I listen very, very carefully, and I suggest that you do the same.
Oh, okay.
And then do give us a call back in a couple of months, Nina. Give us a call back in a couple of months. Let us know how you're doing. The audience will want to know how those liver spots are going.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're very welcome. And you, too, you should sit down and make a list of all the things that bother you. If you have white, gray, or silver hair, if you have liver spots, if your neck sounds like a bag full of gravel, if you have low blood sugar, if you have cracked cuticles, hangnails, or cracks on the side of your fingers and your thumbs, these are all warning signs that you can prevent terrible things from happening if you pay attention and do the proper thing. Let's take another caller here. Let's go to Paula in Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, Paula.
Dr. Wally, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. I just love that Nashville accent.
Well, thank you. You should come here sometime. It's a great city.
Yeah, I've been there before. I appreciate Printer's Alley. It's a lot of fun.
You bet.
Now, what can we do for you today?
Well, Doctor, my daughter and her husband would like another baby. They got a 7-year-old, but they just don't seem to be able to have another one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This young lady had miscarriages or just not a pregnancy at all?
No, just no pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to have any problems.
All right. She's cycling normally?
Very regular.
And she's been examined and there's no kinks in the tubing or plumbing anywhere?
Nothing that they can find.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I can lay your fears here, Paula. I can tell you that I've gotten more women pregnant than any other man in history.
Oh, my goodness.
And my wife is quick to jump in and say that I do it nutritionally. Almost all, 99.9% of the infertility in the world that has nothing to do with kinks in the tubing or any kind of blockages anywhere is due to a nutritional deficiency disease. And if this young lady and young man will take all 90 essential nutrients twice a day for 90 days and then cut it back to once a day for a maintenance, and do this for 3 to 6 months prior to going back to work and trying to establish a pregnancy, you will find that they'll be very, very successful. My own daughter, who's now 36 years old, has two lovely kids and working on her third one. For 12 years, she and her husband tried to have a pregnancy for 12 years and it failed. Never even had a pregnancy with any miscarriages, just never a pregnancy at all. She spent $150,000 of her own money, went to experts all over the world, and they told her she was hopelessly sterile. We put her on the pigarthritis formula, and in 3 months she had her first pregnancy. And let me tell you, she's got the two most beautiful kids, and you can look forward to the same thing to your daughter and son-in-law.
Well, there's nothing like those grandbabies.
That's right. And do give us a call back, Paul, and let us know how they do. And if it's a boy, name it after me.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Doctor.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, cocktail we want to look at before we get into the longevity stuff is exercise. How many of you ever heard, raise your hand, how many of you ever heard that exercise is good for you? Yeah, you're asleep at the wheel if you haven't heard that one. Well, if that were true, people who exercise should live longer than people who are couch potatoes, right? The average couch potato in America lives to be 75.5. The average athlete, depending on the sport and the level of competence, lives to be 62 to 68. So there's something wrong with this theory that exercise alone is good for you. I want you to think about Jim Fix, who died in 1984 at age 52. Jim Fix was running 10 miles a day from the early 60s, believing that if you ran 10 miles a day, 7 days a week, you'd live to be over 100. And he refused to take vitamins and minerals because he believed that he would muddy the water, and he wanted to prove that it was the exercise that helped you live to be over 100. And so he refused to take any vitamins and minerals and trace minerals. When he was 52 years old, he had 5 cardiomyopathy heart attacks, 5 selenium deficiency heart attacks in his 52nd year. The fifth one killed him. When they did the autopsy on Jim Fix, you know, when they open you up, they take a little scissors and they open up all your arteries like little tubes. And they said, gosh, his arteries is as clean as a newborn baby's. But he had a huge technical problem. His heart was dead. Doesn't matter how clean your arteries are. If your heart's dead, doesn't matter, does it? Then you look at people like Jesse Owens, won 4 gold medals in track and field in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, died at age 66. The Flying Finns, who were the Olympic team for track and field for Finland during the 20s and 30s, they dominated 3 Olympics in a row, won most of the gold, most of the silver, almost all the bronze medals during those 3 Olympics, and 2 in the late 20s and in the first Olympics in the 30s. They dominated everybody. None of them lived to be 70 years of age. Well, here's the last one on exercise before we get into the longevity stuff. Dr. Michael P. Ortiz, 38 years old, was also a runner, and this guy ran all through junior high and high school and college and medical school. And when he graduated, he still loved exercise and believed it was good for you. And he tried to carry this love of exercise to his patients, and he gave them a 10% discount on his medical services if they would run with him 2 weeks out of every month. And on this particular fateful day, Dr. Michael P. Ortiz, 38 years old, was jogging with a big group, you know, gallery of his patients, kind of like Forrest Gump, running down this road with a huge gallery of patients. And he collapsed and died in front of his horrified patients, and it was billing week. Now, nobody stopped giving CPR because they didn't want to lose that 10% discount on his services. Now, if you do everything right, how old can you live to be? Is it worth all the effort? I believe it is. Here's one. Christian Mortensen from San Rafael, California, in August of 1995, turned 113. August of 1996, he turned 114. He's still going strong. Certainly can live to be 115. Smokes a couple of cigars a day like George Burns, who also lived to be over 100. Certainly, I guess the only exercise George Burns ever did was put the cigars in his mouth. And then you have this guy plays golf twice a week. This gal here, Dora Ramathebe from South Africa, in July of 1995, turned 114. And when she was asked by the media, Dora, what do you attribute your health and longevity to? She did not say that we owe it all to our annual physical or our HMO. She said, I ate locusts every day. You know, a little grasshopper. She's not a vegetarian. She eats little animals. Pumpkin seeds, tortoise meat, wild herbs, dried fruit, and starch each day with a cup of coffee. This gal here, Margaret Skeets from Radford, Virginia, in 1994, was the oldest documented living American when she died at age 115. Fell over and fractured her hip. 3 weeks later, she was dead from complications of osteoporosis, a simple calcium deficiency. And we'll talk more about this in a minute. Unfortunately, this is not unusual. 75% of all Americans over the age of 65 who fracture a hip or major leg bone don't live 90 days. They die of pneumonia, pulmonary embolism, stroke, and other complications of that fracture. And this gal is one of my favorites, Jean Calment from France. She rode her bike as a volunteer librarian in Paris for 105 years. February 21st, 1995, she turned 120, and she was documented by the Guinness World Book of Records as the oldest documented living woman in the world. They said there's others who claim to be older than she, but they didn't have the paperwork to prove it. February 21st, 1996, she turned 121. February 21st, 1997, she turned 122. She's still going strong and has no intention of dying yet. Susie Brunson, according to her family, in December of 1994, was the oldest American when she died at age 123. And they based her claim on her birth date, December 25th, 1870, which is recorded in the family Bible. And this fellow here, Francisco Barathanueva Chaparina, October 1995. He was from a little town outside of Bogota, Colombia, turned 125. When he was asked by the media, Francisco, what do you attribute your health and longevity to? He said, well, I drink a gallon of goat's milk every day. Also, it's kind of fascinating in his birthday announcement. This is not an obituary. This is a birthday announcement. He said that over 40 years ago, his physicians told him he only had a couple of months to live, so he had his sons build him a coffin. And he's been waking up every morning for more than 40 years, sitting by that coffin waiting to die. Nighttime comes, he goes to bed, wakes up the next morning, sits by the coffin, waits to die. Now, he's still going strong, and all the doctors who told him that more than 40 years ago are long since dead. Now, this fellow here, Hamoudi El Abdullah from Syria, July of 1993, about, 3.5 years ago, died at age 133, and he was still fathering children after the age of 100. He remarried for the 4th time when he was age 80, fathered 4 boys, 5 girls, 9 children after the age of 80 with the same wife. And if you add up the pregnancies and the breastfeeding, the time in between pregnancies, he was still fathering children after the age of 100.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Joel Wallach will be live in studio here tomorrow on the Hour of the Time. That's tomorrow night, right here. During this broadcast, for the entire 2 hours, make sure that you have your questions ready, that you're sitting by a phone tomorrow night, and you keep hitting that redial button until you get through. If you'd like to get a jump on things, however, you can call one of these numbers tonight and get the process rolling for you so that you can begin to follow Dr. Joel Wallach's advice on how you can improve your personal health sooner than those who are going to wait. Call 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. Or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. And if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, just call 3555. That's 3555.
And you too, if you have a health challenge, if you have a health challenge you want to talk about, give us a call, and we'll be happy to share what we know about it with you. And for those of you that have an early warning symptom of low blood sugar, remember that this is one of the first signs of impending diabetes. If you have low blood sugar, if you have thirst, if you have frequent urination, if you have to wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, if you have to urinate five or six times after each meal, you're just terribly thirsty, like you've been living in a desert during the meal. You want to have a six-hour blood glucose tolerance test taken. You want to have your blood sugar level taken, and then the six-hour test. You also want to have a urine test for blood sugar, because the odds are you have either hyperinsulinemia, pre-diabetes, or diabetes. And so don't worry about it. These things can be fixed. You can actually prevent the need for insulin. If you're in a dangerous situation, you can take the insulin temporarily, and then we'll help you get off of it within a few weeks. This is Dr. Joel Wallach, your host, saying stand by. We're going to be right back with some more Truth, Justice, and the American Way.
The very next one is my very, very favorite. This gal, Mizumi Dusty from Iran, according to the Rocky Mountain News Wire Services out of Denver and the Iranian News Agency, this is January of 1995, a little over 2 years ago, she died at age 161. Now, you have to give a certain amount of credibility to this obituary report that she died at age 161, because she is survived by six living children ranging in age from 120 to 128. They hadn't even left home to go to college yet. Now, her oldest son, Golam, said his mother had never visited a doctor nor taken any chemical medications during her life, did take a few herbs. So, if you kind of think about it, every one of these people who lived to be over 100, 120, 130, 160, these people are not from the United States or Canada or Germany or England. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Most of them are from third world countries. They're furthest away from medical help, and they live to be old. So, then we're beginning to collect information here. The last one we want to look at, the National Geographic Society, a very respected group of people, scientists, and so forth.
Hello, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, your host, a veterinarian and physician. And today we're going to talk about osteoporosis, a disease that everybody knows about but knows little about. And the thing that most people don't know is that there's many, many early signs, many early manifestations, and many late-stage problems that are associated with osteoporosis. We're going to cover these in detail. And so you're going to get educated on osteoporosis far more than medical doctors know anything about. This is the great disease. It causes more human misery and cost than any other disease in America. Let's start out with some of the early warning symptoms. Eyelid twitches, toe, foot, and leg cramps, back spasms. These are all indicators of low calcium in your blood, low blood calcium. And why would you have low blood calcium? Well, you have a low dietary calcium intake, and your body may have a hard time keeping up with the calcium need. It takes a little while for your parathyroid glands to get the calcium from your bones. And when there's a lag time there, you get eyelid twitches, toe cramps, foot cramps, leg cramps, and back spasms. Eyelid twitches in themselves are kind of interesting. Technically, they're called blepharospasm. That's kind of a sexy name. And the medical approach to blepharospasm is to surgically cut the muscles to the eyelid so it won't close. Also, they can inject botulism poison, the most potent poison on earth, into those eyelid muscles and poison them so they won't function anymore. Really, all you need is some calcium. Then there's hypercalcemia. This is where you have a high blood calcium, and this terrifies physicians normally. They will want to surgically remove your parathyroid glands. Normally, your blood calcium ranges from 8.5 to 10.5 milligrams per cent. And if it gets up to 11, 11.5, 12, 12.5, doctors believe your parathyroid glands are overactive and the only thing you can do is surgically remove them. They are becoming overactive, the parathyroid glands, but basically if you take in enough calcium, they'll relax, get quiet, go back to sleep, and your blood calcium will go back down to normal. Certainly, calcium supplementation is preferential to surgical amputations of the parathyroid glands. Then there's bleeding from razor nicks. You guys that have to put toilet paper on your face for an hour or so after you nick yourself, or ladies, you nick your shin shaving, and it just won't stop. Normally, blood clotting mechanism should take place within less than a minute. And it takes calcium. It takes a certain amount of calcium in your blood to pull that off. And so one of the earliest symptoms of osteoporosis is a bleeding problem when you nick yourself with a razor. Then there's receding gums, gingivitis, pyorrhea, periodontitis, periodontal disease, loose teeth, bridges and plates. This is the earliest symptom of major osteoporosis, and this can happen in a 12-year-old, 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 50-year-old, 75-years-old, doesn't matter. When you have any of these dental problems, receding gums, gingivitis, loose teeth, bridges and plates, that means that the bones surrounding the roots of your teeth have melted away. Osteoporosis is already beginning, and you'll see osteoporosis in the facial bones and the jaw bones 20 to 50 years before you can recognize osteoporosis in the larger bones of your arms, your vertebrae, your pelvis, and your large leg bones, your hips and your thigh bones, the femur. And that's because the bones surrounding the roots of your teeth are only a millimeter or so thick. And when your bones get weak in the absence of minerals, they try to, in fact, get stronger by generating connective tissue or scar tissue. This happens to every bone in the body. Not at the same rate. Some bones will do this faster than others, and that's highly variable from person to person. And so you get a whole interesting set of symptoms. First of all, let's look at a common malady, tinnitus or ringing in the ears. Most doctors say they don't know what causes that. If it has some dizziness or vertigo with it, it can be called Meniere's disease. If you have real serious vertigo with tinnitus ringing in the ears, it can be called Wallach's vertigo. It was named after me because I figured out what causes it and how to prevent it and how to reverse it. Again, when this connective tissue is generated in your bones of your skull, as the eighth cranial nerve, which is begun in your brain, goes through a little quarter-inch canal through the skull into the inner ear, your eighth cranial nerve has two branches, the auditory branch, which deals with hearing, and the vestibular branch, which deals with balance and your positioning on earth. And if that connective tissue that's generated by your skull when you have osteoporosis squeezes the eighth cranial nerve, you can have one or two or a combination of those symptoms appear at the same time. And they may come and go as your calcium intake varies from week to week or day to day or month to month. And when you get the auditory branch of the eighth cranial nerve squeezed by itself, you get tinnitus or ringing in the ears. When you get the vestibular branch of the eighth cranial nerve squeezed, you get vertigo. When you get them both squeezed at the same time, you get Wallach's vertigo, which is the ringing, buzzing, roaring in the ears along with the vertigo. It has nothing to do with seasickness. It's interesting. Doctors try to give people cortisone, prednisone, and the motion sickness patches or pills. Then there's Bell's palsy. That's the seventh cranial nerve, which originates in the brain, goes through the facial nerve, through the facial bones, and comes out and innervates one side of the face. Most people will wake up and see one side of their face drooping, the eyelids, the lip, the nose, the whole cheek, and they'll think, gosh, I've had a stroke. But it's just that connective tissue squeezing the seventh cranial nerve. Then there's trigeminal neuralgia, also known as tic de la rue. The individuals get a severe electrical-type pain on the side of their face, their neck, behind their ear, down their neck, and over their shoulder. This is the fifth cranial nerve, or the trigeminal nerve, getting squeezed as it comes out through the skull between the ear and the mastoid bone. And then there's spinal stenosis. The spinal nerves can actually be squeezed as they come out from between the vertebrae, and the spinal cord itself can be squeezed by the connective tissue generated by the vertebrae when you have osteoporosis. All of these, of course, are reversible when you supplement properly. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then we have the well-known, of course, osteoarthritis, degenerative arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, Dowager's hump. These are nothing more than osteoporosis and, of course, can be painful, disfiguring, but certainly nothing more than a calcium deficiency.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Joel Wallach will be in studio live the whole 2 hours tomorrow night on the Hour of the Time. Make sure you're ready. Make sure that you have the question that you want to ask about your own personal health. Be by a phone and just keep hitting that redial button until you get through. That's tomorrow night, right here on the Hour of the Time for the whole 2 hours. Dr. Joel Wallach, live in studio. He'll be standing right here beside me. We've gone to a lot of trouble to get him here, folks, and we're going to go to even more trouble tomorrow. A lot of work to get that man up here, believe me. And if you'd like to get a jump on things so that you can get started, so that you can get started following Dr. Wallach's recommendations on how you can improve your personal health, call one of these numbers right now, 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. Or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. If you're outside the continental boundaries of the United States of America or the North American continent, please call 1-520. That's after you call the country code, and I believe that's 01. 01-1520-333-3555. That's 01-1520-333-3555. Once again, for those of you living outside the North American continent, you can call 01-1520-333-3555. And if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, just call 3555. That's 3555.
And they look specifically at psychotropic drugs, things that interfered with the mental function and the dexterity and the reasoning ability of doctors. They looked at speed, marijuana, cocaine, barbiturates, opium derivatives, fentanyl, things of that nature. And they found out that 52% of the licensed medical doctors in America use psychotropic drugs illegally on themselves each and every week. 52%. What that means is if you go to a medical doctor for anything, don't be too excited about their degrees and their certificates and their licenses hanging on the wall. What you want to do very carefully is look at the pupils of their eyes and see if they're gorked out on something before you let them examine you, prescribe to you, or do any kind of procedure. One of my favorites was an anesthesiologist. He was actually a professor of anesthesiology at Stanford up in, what, San Jose? Palo Alto. Okay, thank you. He was supposed to do the anesthesia. He's a professor now, full professor, 34 years old. The guy was brilliant, young man, brilliant. He's supposed to be doing the anesthesia for a liver transplant. The patient's in there on the table, prepped, ready to go. Ready for the anesthesia. The liver is in the ice bucket, ready to go, and the liver from the donor was in there waiting to be put in the recipient. The surgeons are all scrubbed up. Their gloves are up waiting for the anesthesiologist, and they couldn't find him. So they had the head nurse run out in the hall and call his home. His wife said, "He left 2 hours ago, and it's only 15 minutes to the hospital." So he started paging him on his pager. No response. Well, just, again, accidentally, one of the guards in the hospital at Stanford hear the a beeper going off in the little one-holer in the hall. Door's locked, so the guard kicks the door open, and here's Dr. John Barry Dykes, 34 years old, professor of anesthesiology at Stanford Medical School, with a shoe off, dead between the toilet and the floor. He'd been giving himself an injection of fentanyl in between his toes. He was actually going to do the anesthesia. This guy who's supposed to be the ethical and moral leader of these students was supposed to, was going to be doing anesthesia for a liver transplant under the effects of fentanyl, and he happened to overdose himself, and he kills himself. John Barry Dykes, age 34 years of age, when he died. Last one, then we'll get on to the details of great diseases here. This one's local. You may have recognized this guy here, Dr. Michael A. Plotler, 30-year-old pediatrician. He was just out of his residency and internship 3 or 4 years, He's a troublemaker from the get-go in medical school. His nickname in medical school is the social director because he was the guy that got the drugs and the alcohol for the medical student parties. And there he is wearing Birkenstocks. A graduate medical doctor does drugs, is wearing Birkenstocks, so that should make you nervous. You know, you go into the exam room and the guy's dancing around in Birkenstocks, snapping his gloves, has her needle tracks on his arms and make you a little nervous, wouldn't me? Anyway, he kills himself in an overdose of recreational drugs. Gives himself an intravenous injection, he kills himself. Now, because he's a medical doctor, they eulogize him on the front page of the San Diego Union-Tribune. He saved the lives of children but lost his own. And in the article, it said he devoted his whole life to caring for children. Now, he was only out of his residency for 3 years. So unless he was a pedophile or a babysitter, that had to be a lie. Also, Dr. Michael A. Pollard was a thief because the drugs he killed himself with, he stole from the hospital pharmacy. Thirdly, Dr. Michael A. Pollard was malignant dumb. That's about as dumb as you can get because after 14 years of medical school and 3 years of private practice, he still could not read a syringe right and killed himself with an overdose. Now, would you want him working on your kids or grandkids? I wouldn't. First of all, you want to compare him. You want to compare him with a high school dropout. Can't read, can't write, can't do simple math, lives in a cardboard box, eats garbage. The only vehicle this poor soul will ever have is a grocery cart he steals from a neighborhood grocery store, does drugs 5 times a day and lives forever. Goes on and on and on compared with Dr. Michael A. Pollard. Here's one where you can give thanks to the Lord that, you know, he took him out of the loop for you. God works in mysterious ways sometimes. My favorite medical editorial is lining doc's pockets. If you go to your doctor, you want him to think of you as a patient, not a cash cow. But two studies in this month's New England Journal of Medicine show that doctors are out to milk you dry. Now, you don't need to be a dairy farmer to figure out what that means. That's pretty straightforward. 10 months later, in the Reader's Digest, which to me is the sweetest little magazine that ever was, never says anything negative about any individual or any group, page 77, they say, can you trust your doctor? And it lists 12 ways that doctors routinely scam money from their patients. I'm going to give you the worst one. You can go look up the other 11. The worst one, according to Reader's Digest, not Joel Wallach, is doctors get a kickback of $421 every time they refer you in for a CAT scan or an MRI. Now, according to Reader's Digest, not Joel Wallach, the average doctor in America gets $226,681 a year. That's almost $250,000 in CAT scan kickbacks. And you wonder why healthcare costs keep spiraling upward. That's just one procedure. Kind of exciting, isn't it? This one here is a little over 2 years old, January 1995. This is an obituary of a lady, 48 years old, young, died of breast cancer, according to the article. Grace Mastera, given radiation as a baby. I wanted to know what that meant. You get kind of excited about these things. I read her obituary, did a little library research up in La Jolla, the medical school here in San Diego. And when she was 6 months old, she was a sickly child. With all the pediatric heroics of the day, they couldn't fix her, so they put her in the hospital and they took an x-ray machine and they shrank her thymus gland because they didn't know what else to do. And I said, nobody in their right mind would do that because everybody knows your thymus gland is the major part of your immune system. It activates killer T cells, which protects you from hepatitis virus, Epstein-Barr virus, HIV virus, cancer. And so I went into the pediatric medical literature between 1945 and 1950, and it was common practice. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, more than 1 million American babies under the age of 1 year had their thymus gland shrunk between 1945 and 1950 with x-ray machines.
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night on the Hour of the Time, for the whole 2 hours, Dr. Joel Wallach will be live right here in studio. He will be taking your calls and answering your questions. That's tomorrow night live right here on the Hour of the Time. He will be standing right beside me in this studio for the whole 2 hours tomorrow night. If you'd like to get a jump on things, you can call right now and get the wheels in motion for you so that you can begin to use Dr. Wallach's recommendations on how you can improve your personal health. Call one of these numbers right now, 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. If you're outside the continent of North America, you can call 011-520-333-3555. That's 011-520-333-3555. And if you're in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's 3555.
Then there is, of course, loss of height, which goes along with osteoporosis. You see people say, yeah, I used to be 6'8", now I'm only 6'4", because I've lost 4 inches over the years. That, in fact, is because they're losing calcium into their bloodstream to maintain their blood calcium, and they're not taking in enough calcium to maintain their height, so they're just gradually losing bone mass. You can also get compression fractures where the vertebrae themselves can compress, kind of like stepping on a beer can. When you have enough body weight to compress these low mineral vertebrae, they don't have enough mineral in them anymore. And then there's spontaneous fractures, which can be life-threatening. This is where the hip or the ball and socket joint or the femur itself fracture, and you fall down after the fracture actually takes place, and you can have the secondary effects or the side effects of this, complications which are known as pneumonia, pulmonary embolism, and stroke. All of these are related to osteoporosis, certainly not all of the features of osteoporosis, but some of the more common ones. And most of you really didn't realize that osteoporosis appeared in this many different ways. Well, one of the things that people do is they supplement with lots of calcium, and they're very frustrated with the results. They rarely get the result they're looking for. That's because 25 to 40% of your bone weight is pure collagen or gelatin. And without supplementing collagen, glucosamine sulfate, and chondroitin sulfate, guess what? You're not going to retain much or any of that calcium that you supplement with. And so we came up with what we call Dr. Wallach's Pig Arthritis Formula. And Dr. Wallach's Pig Arthritis Formula has not only colloidal and chelated and elemental calcium in it, it has the collagen, glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, the basic building blocks for your bone itself. It also has all 60 essential minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and the 3 essential fatty acids. And we're going to be right back after these messages.
And according to the U.S. Department of Energy, these kids have either already died of cancer, like Grace Masira, or they're currently under treatment for cancer. It's projected they're going to die of cancer based on the amount of radiation they receive in their neck and chest to shrink their thymus gland. And I want you to remember that not a single foreign enemy has ever radiated in America. And this came from the profession who is famous for saying, "Now you have to trust me, my dear, I'm a doctor." You wonder what the pupils looked like on the eyes of this surgeon in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Butterworth Hospital when he took off the normal breast and left the cancerous breast on this woman. I guarantee you he was gorked out on something, because look at the date here, March 17, 1995. What day is that? St. Patrick's Day. I guarantee you even a dyslexic surgeon wouldn't make that mistake. Now, this fellow here, Willie King, has become the poster child for people who have been injured, infected, or killed in hospitals. He went into the University Community Hospital in Tampa, Florida to get his right leg amputated for gangrene because he had uncontrolled diabetes. And the bones were sticking out of the ends of his toes, the skin was slipping off, and his flesh smelled like rotten meat in a garbage can on a hot July night, and the surgeon promptly cut off his normal left leg. But they made it up to Willie a week later. They cut off his bad leg for nothing, and so he got two legs cut off for the price of one. A couple more, and we'll get into the good stuff. Dr. Raymond Statler, a neurosurgeon from Wilmington, North Carolina, had his license suspended for 30 days, according to this news article, because after exposing the patient's brain for surgery, ran out for 25 minutes because he got the munchies, went into the hospital lunchroom and had to go eat something. Now, I don't believe that's what happened, because I've done a lot of surgery, and when you get hungry and have to go to the bathroom real bad, you don't tell the nurse, "Keep him warm for a half hour, I'll be back." You go faster, you know, if you can get the stitches farther apart, whatever you have to do to get done. And if it's a long, complicated procedure, you have the nurse call in somebody else to kind of carry on for you or excuse yourself for a few minutes. Well, I believe that Dr. Raymond Statler is part of the 52% of the medical doctors who do drugs every week. And he was going through withdrawals. And he had to run into the bathroom and snort some cocaine or give himself an injection to get himself under control. And I base this opinion on this statement from the State Medical Board of North Carolina. They said, "Dr. Raymond Statler forgot the names of surgical equipment or instruments during the operation. He told his nurse to drill holes in the patient's head with a Black & Decker drill."
Can you believe that, folks? Well, it happens. It's true. And there are even violins.
The office is open, Dr. Wallach here. And before we go to our first caller, I want to remind people that 25 to 40% of your bone weight is pure collagen or gelatin. If you ever did that sixth grade biology experiment where you took a chicken drumstick bone, made sure all the meat was off of it, put it into a quart jar of white vinegar, left it in there for 2 weeks, then washed it off, and guess what? You can tie that chicken drumstick bone into a square knot because all the minerals have been taken out of it, but the gelatinous 25 to 40% is still there. And you can supplement with all the calcium you want, but without that Without that collagen, chondroitin sulfate, and glucosamine sulfate, you're not going to retain much of any calcium. And that's a very, very important part of Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula. Let's go to our first caller, Helen in Lakeland, Florida. Helen, you're on the air.
Well, hi, Dr. Wallach.
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm from Lakeland, Florida, and I have a question for you.
Fire away.
Okay. I'm a 56-year-old who has a history of osteoporosis in my family. And I can remember my grandmother being stooped over. My mom is really getting worse every day. Is there anything I can do to keep this from happening to me?
Oh, absolutely, Helen. Osteoporosis and Dowager's hump like your grandmother had, and if your mom has the beginnings of Dowager's hump too.
Unfortunately, we're not going to hear the solution to that. You can ask the same question tomorrow night. I guarantee you somebody will, and you're going to hear his recommendations. Tomorrow night, live, right here in studio on the hour of the time for the whole 2 hours. In the meantime, operators are standing by. Call 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. If you're outside of the United States, call 011-520-333-3555. That's 011-520-333-3555. And if you're in the Round Valley of Arizona, call 3555. That's 3555. Good night, folks. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I'll see you right here. Make sure that you've got your questions ready. You're sitting by a phone, and you keep hitting that redial button until you get through. And you ask Dr. Wallach yourself what his recommendations are on how you can improve your personal health according to what's wrong with you. And everybody, folks, has something wrong in the health department these days in this country.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I could, I'd make you understand. If I could, I'd make you understand. There's no hurry, it's gonna come for sure.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager, classic radio like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of all the years gone by.